Well, God bless you all in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Thanks, Scott and Margie, for hosting fellowship here at your home. Dan, thanks for the songs. Great to hear messages from our Heavenly Father. And we are going to the Bible now, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 to begin. Today's Sunday, November the 19th, and this Thursday is Thanksgiving. And of course, for us, every day is Thanksgiving, right? Every day. There's lots to be thankful for, and we can certainly thank God for many things every day. Last week, we were looking at God's Word and saw a little bit about how great God Almighty is and how thankful we are to know how good, how kind, how gracious our wonderful Heavenly Father is, the one true God. How thankful we are to know that the Creator of the heavens and the earth is our Father, as we just heard a few minutes ago. Praise and thanks be to God every single day. This morning, let's take a little time to look at God's Son, our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and how very thankful we are for what He has accomplished for us. And beginning in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Verse 3 says that, well, we'll read it. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ is God's Son. That's why we call Him the Son of God. And Jesus Christ was a human being. And if you look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, familiar verses, probably all the verses we're going to look at this morning are somewhat familiar to us. But this is an important verse in 1 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 4, God would have, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men or mankind, the man Christ Jesus. So one mediator. So God, people, in between is a mediator. There's one mediator between God and mankind, and that mediator is the Lord Jesus Christ. So now let's go to Luke chapter 1. How did Jesus Christ come to be? Luke chapter 1. I know it's not Christmas time, but we're starting kind of from the beginning of Jesus Christ. How did He get here? Where did He come from? The angel Gabriel, as you know, appeared unto Mary. Verse 30, "Fear not, Mary, you have found favor with God." We're in Luke 1:30. "Fear not, Mary, thou hast found favor with God. Behold, you shall conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest." Okay, that'd be the Son of God. "And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And Mary said, "Whoa, wait a second." Her and Joseph, as we know from other scriptures, had not yet come together. They were betrothed. So they weren't officially, you know, married, united. She's like, wait a second, how am I going to get pregnant here? "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" The angel answered, here it is, and said unto her, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest," that would be God, "the power of God shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Simple. There's a verse in John chapter 6 where Jesus Christ said, "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. I came down from heaven." These verses tell us how he came down from heaven. This is how he came to be. Divine conception. Mary supplied the egg And God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, supplied the sperm. And we know from biology, a sperm and an egg meet together and a baby grows. And that is how he came from heaven, or he came from God. God gave his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's how he did it. Divine conception. So he was a human being. He was born. He was a baby. He had to grow up. And at a very early age, 12 or 13, remember, he was in the temple. They were returning to Nazareth and thought he was with relatives. And Joseph and Mary lost the Savior. I bet that was a panic. Oh my gosh, I thought he was... No, so they headed back to Jerusalem. And where did they find this young boy in the temple? And the doctors were amazed at his questions. And so one of the first recorded words of Jesus Christ was, he said, "How is it you sought me? Did you not know I must be about my Father's business?" At that age. And you know, because we've talked about it a number of times, in the Bible culture, sons served the father. Sons were very concerned with the family business. Sons biblically served the father. If your dad was a fisherman, you're a fisherman. There he was at that young age. I must be about my Father's business. We know from the scriptures that God gave Jesus Christ Holy Spirit. If you'd go to Acts chapter 10. And looking at this morning, I think will just give us, or hopefully will give us, a little more gratitude and thankfulness for this wonderful man, the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. God gave Jesus Christ Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Therefore, Jesus Christ had the spiritual ability to do what he did. And in Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, with Holy Spirit. God gave his Son Spirit, the Spirit of God, with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And how was God with him? By way of the Holy Spirit that God put in him. In John chapter 3, in verse 34, it says, "For he whom God hath sent," speaking of Jesus Christ, "speaks the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." It's a wonderful verse, and the word Spirit is, the usage there would be God in his capacity to communicate instructions or information however he chooses. So literally you could say God gave Jesus Christ revelation in an unlimited measure. What a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he walked with God. We can see that as you read the Gospels, to see how he walked with God. You know, there's one that's really kind of interesting when Jesus Christ was at the pool of Bethesda, where there was a bunch of sick people there. He went and healed one. You're like, well, why didn't he heal everybody? Because he did what God told him to do. There are other places when it says there was a group of people and he healed everybody. What a walk with God he had. That's why in, look at chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 29. "And he that sent me," or John 8, 29. "He that sent me," Jesus Christ is speaking. So who sent him? God. Okay. "Is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Well, there's a bar set for us. What a great example. He always did the things that pleased his Father. Always. There's not a human being that has ever lived that could say that, right? Always did the Father's will. In Hebrews chapter 4, we learn that Jesus Christ, it says, was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. So he was tempted. Any kind of temptation you've ever had, Jesus Christ was tempted and went, no, not doing it. I always do the Father's will. Isn't that amazing? His ministry was short, about a year, a little over a year. But he walked with God like no one ever had before. We read in the Gospels where he prayed a lot. I mean, the scripture shows he prayed all night. Shows he got up early in the morning before anybody else got up so he could pray. You would think if anyone was exempt from praying, someone that walked that great with God still prayed and talked to his Father. And then he taught other people to pray. He taught God's word like no one had ever heard before, dynamically. And he exhibited great love for people, great compassion. When confronted with the religious leaders who were trying to oppose his ministry, he took a very bold stand and had some pretty sharp things to say to them that was right on with the scriptures. But you don't see him doing that with other people. He just loved people. He helped people. And he performed many, many miracles. What a great example of walking with God we have with Jesus Christ. How thankful we are that we can read the Gospels and see an example of someone walking with God. And then, as you know, he obeyed God and laid down his life in payment for Adam's sin, a one-time sacrifice for mankind, which then allowed people to be reconciled back to God. What a Savior. And so we need to remember that Jesus Christ had free will. He was in all points tempted like we are, but without sin. He always did the Father's will. What a great example of walking with God and serving God that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ, and how thankful we are that we have that kind of an example. And yes, he set the bar very high, very high. But he was a human being, and he walked that way with God. After his death, resurrection, and ascension, mankind's redemption and salvation was set. The door was opened for salvation. Romans 10:9, you probably know it by heart, but we'll just look at it. Romans chapter 10. It's a little different Thanksgiving teaching, if you will. Being thankful for our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9, we're all familiar with it, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How simple God made salvation. Confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, and Lord is a title. He's Lord. He's Lord of all people who have ever lived. The word confess, of course, means to acknowledge or agree, to confess or acknowledge that, yes, Jesus Christ is Lord of all people. There's nobody any more important, any greater than the man Jesus Christ. God, the scriptures say, God gave him a name above every other name. God put him as the head of the church. The scriptures say that he should have the preeminence. That at the name of Jesus, there's a day coming when every knee is going to bow. Of course, he's Lord, period. And so God just says, just acknowledge that he's Lord and believe I raised him from the dead and you have salvation. And so when we read the Gospels, we see his sterling example of walking with God. And again, we got to remember, he was a human being like we are. He wasn't a deity. Remember what we saw last week? That God Almighty said that he, God, was God alone. There is none else, and God would know. God's Son, by divine conception, was the mediator between God and mankind, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ chose, because he had free will, he chose to be obedient to God. For him, it was a day-by-day decision. Just like it is for us. You know, every day he got up, it's like free will decision. Am I going to believe God? Am I going to do the Father's will today? Remember in the garden, When he prayed before he was arrested, he asked God, is there any other way to do this? Because he knew what was coming. Sure. Is there any other way we can do this? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. What a savior. What an example. If he could walk with God, so can we. He had God's spirit, and so do we. So what a great example. And we see that in the Gospels. Now, in the epistles, God shows us who we are and what we have as a result of what our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ accomplished for us. So let's look at a couple of those. Romans chapter 3. We're in 10. Let's back up to 3. Familiar again, but in Romans chapter 3, verse 21. This is Scripture 2 and 4, born-again believers. Us. Now, it says in verse 21, but now, right now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, by the believing of Jesus Christ, that he believed God's word, always did the Father's will. The righteousness of God, which is by the believing of Jesus Christ, it is unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. We have the righteousness of God freely given to us. Not by our works, but by Jesus Christ believing. We're righteous before God. How thankful, grateful we are for what Jesus Christ accomplished, because now we can be right in the sight of God. How blessed we are. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 5. Actually, you see the end of verse 4. It says, in love. The words in love actually start verse 5. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, God's will. Let me read this to you from the Working Translation. In love, he, God, in love, he determined beforehand for us to have sonship to himself through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the good pleasure of his will. So we have sonship. God is our Father through Jesus Christ. Without his accomplished work, we wouldn't have sonship. God wouldn't be our heavenly Father. How thankful we are to have God as our Father. How thankful we are for what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. In verse 7, well, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, where he's made us accept in the beloved. We are accepted. Verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, meaning because he died for us. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. How thankful we are for the redemption we have. How thankful we are for the forgiveness that we have. And you know, thinking of that forgiveness, every time we eat, even a Thanksgiving feast, holding a big turkey, whatever you like. But every time we eat, whether it's a Thanksgiving feast or not, we can stop and remember that wonderful memorial that Jesus Christ instituted shortly before he was arrested. When he was sitting there, what we call the Last Supper, he took bread, broke it, and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in memory of me. Remember that my body was broken for you. And we know it says in Peter, by his stripes we were healed. And then he took the cup, said, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood for the remission of sins. And so he said, do this in memory of me. So anytime we eat, you know, whether it's sandwich, bread, whatever, we can stop for a minute and go, by his stripes I was healed. Jesus Christ paid for my healing. Thank you. And whatever we're drinking, coffee, tea, glass of wine, we can remember that we have remission of sins, that he paid the price for all of them, and say thank you. Isn't that wonderful? So we can be thankful for remission and forgiveness of sins. We can be thankful for the healing. And as you know, there are many, many more rights, privileges, and abilities that we have as a result of the completed work of Jesus Christ. We could spend the next couple of hours going through the epistles. We're not. But because of Jesus Christ walking with God and how thankful we are for all that we have now and for all that's to come when Christ returns. We're going to close in Ephesians 2. It's not too far away from Ephesians 1 there. There's always lots to be thankful for. I suppose the other side of the coin is you could say there's always lots to complain about. Complain about this, complain about that. I needed to get a Lyft ride the other day, Uber, Lyft, and the driver was a man from Africa. I don't know how long he's been over here. And I had to kind of lean forward because he's, you know, a bit of an accent to understand his English. But we were just talking about different things, and he said in his country, he said, people have to work very hard just to eat. And he was talking about how, you know, there are young people that are people that don't want to work and get a handout from somewhere. And over in his country, he said, it's kind of like what the Bible says, you don't work, you don't eat. And we were talking about the great blessings and benefits of living in this country with such great abundance, such great opportunity. And we have a lot to be thankful for. We could complain about things, but we really have a lot to be thankful and grateful for. And one of the great benefits, a side benefit of being thankful, is that when you are thanking God for something, whether it's a little thing that happened, a big thing, whenever you're thanking God for something, you're not thinking of any needs or any problems, but your mind is focused on something that God blessed you with, and that builds confidence to trust Him for other things. So it's a great side benefit. So there's always lots to be thankful for. Let's continue to give God Almighty our praise, reverence, and thanksgiving for what He's already done for us, what He's promised to do for us in this life, and what He has promised is coming in the life to come. Romans says, Romans 8:18 says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. It's going to be good. Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come, Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Oh, what a Savior. What a Savior. And we get to see Jesus Christ face to face. I can't wait to say thank you. Thank you. So, whether it's a Thanksgiving holiday, we give praise, reverence, and thanks to our wonderful God. Let's stay grateful for the completed work of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, for His sterling example of a Son walking and working for His Father, and for all the accomplishments that He accomplished for us. And while we're at it, one more thing. Thankful for our God, we're thankful for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and how about we be thankful for this book? The Word of God, the magnificent Word of God. Because without understanding and knowing what's in this book, we wouldn't know about God. We wouldn't know the truth about God. We wouldn't know He's a great, big, wonderful God. We wouldn't know about His great plan of salvation and redemption. We wouldn't know about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We wouldn't get born again. That's how we find out to have salvation. So I'm real thankful for God. I'm thankful for His Son. And I'm thankful for the Bible. God's wonderful word. Shall we pray? Father, we give You praise and thanks for how good You are, for how kind You are, for being such a loving God, for Your great power, because Your arm is not waxed short. You have not lost any of Your power. We thank You for the love that You have for us, Your children, and that You are the one that said nothing can separate us from that love. We're so grateful and thankful for our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who accomplished Your great plan so that we could be born again and have everlasting life. And Father, we so look forward to the day when you send him back. So Father, as we wait for the Son of God from heaven to return, we look to you for the things that we need. We trust you. We thank you for your promises. And thank you, Father, for your wonderful word. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving.